So, number two in our series on getting out of Egypt, we're going to walk through the book of Exodus. It almost didn't happen, right? Not the way that we know it. Not because of the fears and the insecurities and the excuses of a man called Moses. Now, you know the story of Moses, but let me just remind you again. So, when Moses was born, it was this time when they were killing all the little baby boys in Egypt. And of course, his mother put him in the basket, and she put him in the Nile. He went down the Nile. Pharaoh's daughter saw him. She took him home. She adopted him as her son. He grew up in Pharaoh's court and became kind of Pharaoh's grandson. And all went well, and all was perfect, until one day he saw one of these Egyptian slave drivers abusing one of the Israelites. And he intervened and killed the Egyptian. And he had to get out of Egypt quite fast. And that was that. Fled to a place called Midian. Midian would be somewhere in what we call Saudi Arabia today. Fled to a place called Midian, where he lived for 40 years. Got married in Midian. Had children. Settled down. And started living there, kind of finding a new peace, far away from the past, far away from Egypt, far away from the bondage of Egypt. That is until the day, 40 years later, God called him back to Egypt. And that's where our story starts today. I'm going to read with you Exodus chapter 3. And Ted, you're going to have to bear with me as I jump on the verses, stop here and there, but you'll do fine. Exodus 3, verse 1. Now, Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. He led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God, also known as Sinai. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. And then, I'm not going to read the rest, you know the rest of the story. So Moses goes closer, God says, take off your shoes because you're standing on holy ground. And then God speaks to him and he says, Moses, I've heard my people and I've heard their cry. And I know that it's hard and difficult for them. And I want to get them out of Egypt. I want to take them out of this bondage and this slavery. So something needs to happen. And then verse 10. God said, so now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. What an amazing moment. He had to run away, leave the people. And here's God coming, saying, Moses, it's time. They need to get out of there. And here's the thing, Moses. You're going to do this. And we'd expect Moses to say, God, can we just get on a donkey and get down to Egypt so I can go do this stuff? But unfortunately, that's not what Moses does. And I think the story that we're going to read this morning might just be a little bit of a mirror. That God says, have a look in the mirror. Maybe you see something. Maybe you recognize a little something of yourself in this mirror too. Because instead of saying, God, let's go do this, Moses has excuse after excuse after excuse after excuse. Verse 11. But Moses, boy, when we get to that but, you know by now, I call it the biblical but. Here's your biblical but again. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt. God, like, don't you remember what I did? I'm not really the person that they want to see there. When I go there, they're going to kind of kill me. And number two, you know, I'm nothing but a shepherd. I don't have the resume. I can't go do this job. Find someone with a resume to do the job. You know, when I read this, my little mirror came up and I said, maybe I've said that too. Who am I? Who am I to go do this job? Who am I? I remember that well. I told you the story of when I was called by God to go into full-time ministry. It was not in your life. Not me. I'm going to be a doctor. And I'll still work for you, but you can keep this minister stuff for someone else. I can't do this, and I'm not going to do this. How did that work out for me? I remember well when God said, you're going to move your family halfway across the world. You're going to go live in an igloo. And I said, not going to happen. And here I am. I know that exactly. We've all been there, right? Who am I? Why me? Because the problem is this. It's that I word in there. It's that I word in there. Because the moment God calls, I'm thinking, me? I can't do that. I'm just me. I'm just little me. Why little me? Isn't there someone who's stronger, better equipped than me to do this? But that's where we fall, because I can't do it. If I had to do it, it was all nothing. And that's when we get that excuse out and say, try someone else, Lord. You could try Hank. Hank will do way better than me. Why me? God answers. So Moses said, and then God said, verse 12, God said, I will be with you. This will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God, me, on this mountain. Moses says, who am I? And God says, I will be with you. Do you get it? When he calls, when he says, go do this, when he calls you to go be his servant, God doesn't say, go do it in your strength, Aubrey. He says, I know you can't do it in your strength. I will be with you. I will do it with you. And go read the Bible. Throughout the Bible, you'll see that. My favorite passage, Isaiah 43, says it so beautifully. When you get to those rivers of difficulty and you're thinking, I'm not going to be able to get through it, I will be with you. When you get to the waters that feel that they're overwhelming you, I will be with you. When you go through the fire of oppression that scares the living daylights out of you, I will be with you. When they throw you into a lion's den, Daniel, I will be with you. When Paul, they put you in jail and they whip you 39 times over and over, I will be with you. And when God sent his son into the world, what did the angels say? What would they call him? Emmanuel. God with you. Right? And then Jesus, right there at the end, after he died, rose from the dead, taught the disciples, and then he says to them, right at the end, just before he leaves, what are his last words? Matthew 28. Last verse, and I will be with you until the end of all of this. Don't have to do it alone. You don't have to try and do it in your strength, because we can't. But when God calls, when God says, I need you, when God says, I want to send you, God says, I will be with you. Verse 13, and Moses said to God, but suppose I go to the Israelites and I say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what's his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said, you see, Moses says, God says. God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. And God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. Moses still tries to get out of there. Isn't that so true? We still try and get out of it. And then he says, who will I say? He knows God so well. He knows him by Elohim or Yahweh or Adonai. He knows all these names. But who should I say? It's a cop-out. And then God says, I'm not going to let you get out so easily, Moses. Here's what I'm going to tell you. This is my name. I am who I am. I will be what I need to be, Moses. I will do what I need to do, Moses. I will take care of what I need to take care, Moses. I will support what I need to support, Moses. I am. I am all that I need to be. I will become all that you need me to become. I am there for you, Moses. See, my friends, here's the thing. God doesn't care much about our resumes. That's why he says, go tell them, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Because they didn't have quite the resume, did they? Abraham cheated on his wife. Isaac didn't even know his two boys from another. And Jacob, well, we told the story about Jacob. But the thing is this, God doesn't call the qualified. God qualifies those he calls. I am who I am. And I will be who I need to be for you. You asked, who am I? I am who I am. You asked, who am I to be sent, Lord? I will be with you. And Moses said, got it. Let's go. Let's go do this. All ready for that. Yeah, right. Chapter 4. Moses answered, What if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you? What if? Hands up. Any of you ever said, what if? What if I don't get into that school? What if my finances don't work out? What if this doesn't happen? What about tomorrow? What if this? What if that? Is that in your control? It's not. It's not. And yet, what if becomes such a good friend to us, doesn't it? We're always into the what ifs. The problem with the what if is this, and Francis of Assisi said this beautifully. He says, what if becomes these little jail cells in which our faith is trapped because of the fear of that which is out of my control? Can I say that again? What if becomes these little jail cells in which my faith is trapped because I'm so scared of the things that are out of my control. And then I say, what if? Been there? Done that? What is God's response to what if? Verse 2. Then the Lord said to him, what is in your hand? A staff, he replied. And let me tell you the story, that I don't have to read it all. So remember what happened. God said, throw the staff on the floor. And he became a snake. And God said, grab it by the tail. And it was the staff again. Then God said, put your hand into your clothes. And he took it out. And it was full of leprosy. And then he put it back in. And it was clean. And then God said, if the Pharaoh and the Egyptians don't believe this, then go to the Nile, which they believed was God. Isis, Osiris lived in that thing. Go there, take some of the water and pour it on the ground, and it will turn to blood. We say, what if, because we're afraid of what is out of our control. And then God turns it around and God says, what is in your hand? What do you have that you can control? What's in your hand? It's just a staff. No, it's not. That same staff would become that thing that Moses would stretch out and that Red Sea would part and they would walk through. That same staff, Moses would hit a rock and that rock would turn open and become a gushing river of water, living water for them to drink. And all the time Moses had the staff and he thought it was just my old staff that I walked around with the sheep. What if? What is? Can we take a moment? Can we just take a moment and be quiet before the Lord? Let me ask you, why don't you take the what ifs that are in your life right now? Won't you just take them and give them to the Lord for a moment? And say, Lord, will you take these what ifs away from my life? Because they're out of my control, but you can. And then take the what is and say, Lord, will you show me what is in my hand that you can use? Will you take a moment? Just close your eyes for a moment and just give that to the Lord. Thank you for hearing us, Lord.
Amen.
But Moses isn't done. Verse 10. Moses said to the Lord, pardon your servant, Lord. I've never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you've spoken to your servant. I'm slow of speech and tongue. I think Moses realized that God was getting a little annoyed with him. So he starts a little differently this time. Pardon your servant, Lord. We're not sure what this speech impediment was. Never told us. It's all we have. It just says this. But what I do see is that it's kind of Moses saying to God, forget about the staff, Lord. I can't even speak. I'm inadequate. I feel inadequate. I don't think I can do this. I want to hide behind these little fears of mine. I'm not sure I can do this. What's God's response to that? When we hide behind what we think are little inadequacies. Lord said to him, who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go. I will help you speak and I will teach you what to say. Moses, your limitations do not limit me. Aubrey, your limitations do not limit me. Go. I will be with you. I am who I am. All I ask from you is to use what is in your hand, and I will take care of you. Don't limit yourself because you can't limit me. Paul taught us that in Corinthians, right? He says, in our weakness, God's strength will come through. My strength is perfect when your strength is gone, says God. Don't tell me you can't speak. Don't tell me you can't walk. Don't tell me you can't serve. Don't tell me you can't do. Don't tell me this. Don't bring the what ifs. I am who I am, and I will take care of you. One last one. But Moses said, pardon your servant, Lord. Please send someone else. Now he spills the beans. I don't want to do it. Thank you, but no thank you. I never wanted to do this. And seeing that you don't want to take these excuses, I'm just out of this. I'm done. Find someone else. I'm not going to do this. I don't think Moses ever intended doing this. Can I tell you why? See, Moses might have been out of Egypt, but he was still in bondage to his fear, to his excuses, to his insecurities, to his feelings of feeling inadequate, and he was still bound by these things. And when these things bind your life, you can't move. You might be outside Egypt, but you're still bound by Egypt, and that's where he was stuck. He might have been how many hundred miles away from it, but he was right there. His Midian became his new Egypt. How many of us are stuck right there in our little Midian where we feel this is all great and this is all fun, but I'm not going to do that. And I'm not going to move. Do you see what happens when Moses did that? Last little bit of reading. Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, what about your brother Aaron the Levite? I know he can speak well. He's already on his way to meet you, and he'll be glad to see you. You have no cop-out. Go. Your brother's going to speak for you. Why does God get angry with him? Can I tell you why God got angry with him? Because God knew, with Moses trying to get out of this, Moses trying to cop out of this, Moses having every excuse in the world not doing what God is putting out there for him, Moses would have missed out on the most amazing miracles that God had planned for his life. He would never have stood before Pharaoh and looked him in the eye and said, let my people go. He would have never have had that staff and put it out there and see that reed sea part the way that God could do that. He would never have had that amazing moment of going up that mountain and seeing God face to face. He would never have had that moment of coming down there with God's 10 words in his arms if God let him cop out. What about you? What about you? Can you imagine how many amazing things you'll miss? Can you imagine me, us, how many amazing things we have missed? Because we said, why me? Pardon me, Lord. Send someone else. Imagine what I would have missed if I said no to God and not come to this amazing place called Canada with my family to be blessed in this abundance. I would have missed all of this. Imagine what would have happened if Jesus said to his Father, I'm not going into that terrible place. Leave him be. They're like the Egyptian, like the Israelites in Egypt. They're slaves to their sin. They're lost. They're dying. But pardon me, Lord. I'm not going. What would have happened? What if Jesus said, I'm not going to that cross. I know what that means. I know what that's going to do to me. I'm not going there. Send someone else. Maybe an angel will do that. Not me. Where would we have been? But he didn't say, pardon me, Lord. He said, Father, scares the living daylights out of me. But I'm going to do this. And he walked. And he walked right into our Egypt. And he said to Satan, let my people go. And he didn't give him a chance. He put him in his place, right there under his foot. And here we are. Because he didn't make excuses. I'll do this. God didn't promise Moses it's going to be a cakewalk. He never said that. Doesn't promise it's going to be a cakewalk. But that he does promise is, I will be with you. And I will be, I am to you. And I will give you whatever you need. Just look. What is in your hand? Amen. Let's pray. Thank you for your word, Lord. Sometimes hard, because we have to take a close look at ourselves and see ourselves in a mirror. But thank you that it's not a word of judgment, but a word of invitation. Because that's what you did with Moses. You just kept on inviting, as Moses kept on trying to get out of it. But thank you that you don't do that because you want to make life hard. You're doing that because you don't want us to miss a single amazing moment that you have planned for us. And thank you for that. Thank you for the miracles. Thank you for the amazing moments. Thank you for putting in our hand that which we need. Thank you in this morning that we could place all of our what ifs in your hand and say, Lord, will you take them? And help us to live in that we can control. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for not turning away from the cross, but going there for us, so that we can sing, I am set free. I am set free for the freedom I have been set free in Christ. We love you and we adore you as we pray in your precious name. Amen.